Well, if you can be seated after you just saying that, I don't know. So I'd like to just name this affirmation once again. Christian love of neighbors includes walking humbly with God, acknowledging our own shortcomings while honestly seeking to understand and call forth the best in others, including those who consider us their enemies. And just for a little sense of humor, I found this as I was looking for some images about the love your enemies. So the one by Mark Twain. Do you want me to? Oop. All right, here it is by Mark Twain. Love your enemy, it will scare the hell out of them. So I found that funny. So do you have enemies? Do you have people or institutions that you may call your enemy or think of as your enemy, maybe your neighbor or your someone in your neighborhood? Yeah. Well, there you go. And is there anyone in your world who might call you their enemy? It might be someone that labels you with the labels that we talked about letting go of. So I really wanted to start by talking about this scripture, turning the other cheek. And I was told a really great author to look into, Walter Winks, and he has a contextual way to look at turning the other cheek, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, but it's okay, whatever. So I'm wondering if I could have a volunteer. And if no one volunteers, I'm going to take someone from the front row. Okay, so turning the other cheek. So back in Jesus' time, this had more meaning than what we might think of today. So I want to go back to the contextual point of view so we can take this to the next level. So if someone in a social status below me were to upset me and I wanted to slap them, how often do you get slapped in church by the pastor? So you would never use your left hand because your left hand in Jesus' time was for unclean things. So your right hand would be the only hand in which you would slap someone. And so if someone is in a lower social status than me, say I'm master, slave, or a parent, child, you would backhand them with your right hand only. So you would backhand them with your right hand only. So if you were to turn your other cheek, if you turn the other cheek, I couldn't do a good job of backhanding her with my right hand if she turned the other cheek. And if I were to punch her with my right hand, that would mean that we were equals socially in our social status. So I can't punch her. I can only backhand slap her with my right hand, and I'm out of options. So when Jesus says, turn the other cheek, he's speaking about a third way. So one way is to lash back out, violence on violence. The other is to, which a lot of people interpret this scripture as, be abused or be a doormat. But it's not. This is actually Jesus saying, pick a third way. A third way where, what is the other, you put the person in a position where how would they can't slap your other cheek. I was thinking about picking a tall person because I'm so short, but it works out. Yeah, we would have been great, Erica. So this, if you want to look more into this, Walter Wink, W-I-N-K, is the one who has explained this this text in this way. And so what he says is, this means do not react violently against one who is evil. All right, and so I'd really like, this is why I picked this quote. Show respect even to people who don't deserve it, not as a reflection of their character, but as a reflection
of yours, finding that third way. And so I would like to reflect more on what Bishop Talbot said in his video. I found this on umc.org if you want to learn more about Bishop Talbot or anything that he has said in the past. I was privileged enough that Bishop Talbot came to one of my seminary classes, and he spoke about this time with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he talked about this, how he said in the video about how they just wanted change, they wanted change, they wanted change. And he was young, and he just wanted change now. And Dr. King talked about a nonviolent revolution. And so sitting with Dr. King, he learned a lot. And Bishop Talbot, he wasn't bishop at the time, he said, well, you know, I'm so angry and they treat us so badly. And Dr. King said, but we are called to love even the white who oppress us. We are called to love even the prison guards who are watching over us and maybe abusing us. We are to love even them. This had a huge effect on Bishop Talbot, huge. And I think he kind of fought within himself on this at first. And then after, you know, I'm imagining sitting with Dr. King in a small cell for 3 days, it might ooze into you. To live each day with love, peace, nonviolence, and justice. I think we need to talk about that later, but yeah, I think we need to love and have compassion for even that person. So, we are to love our enemies. And I really liked this quote by Gandhi. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. We just sang Study War No More, and the other hymn I would think of is Let There Be Peace on Earth. And both of these hymns talk about us as individuals. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. It doesn't say, let our nation find peace on earth. It says, let it begin with me. Study War No More. It didn't say, let my nation, my government, the leaders study war no more. It says, I ain't gonna study war no more. And so this is where we live our lives each day, day by day, loving our enemies, putting love and peace out there. This might be tough. I totally understand that this may be hard and tough. I liked what Eric Elness said, the author of the Phoenix Affirmations. Though loving our neighbor puts us at distinct risk if our neighbor does not love us back, is it really any less risky to love our neighbor? Though loving our neighbor puts us at distinct risk if our neighbor does not love us back, is it really any less risky to love our neighbor? He was referring to us individually, but us also as groups of people who live in government, who are established by government, and our government and many governments in our world have the power to wipe out whole civilizations. Is it any less risky to try to talk with our enemy than to not talk to our enemy? The third way. What if the third way is listening? The gift of listening. The act of listening. What if to talk with our neighbors means to listen to our neighbors and our enemies? Listening. And Nelson Mandela said this. One of the things I learned when I was negotiating was that until I changed myself, I could not change others. And what if his changing in himself was changing, that he was talking and telling his enemies what they needed to do differently, and turned it into listening so that they could have compassion and see the humanity in one another and find maybe a third way, as Jesus talked about in turning the other cheek. So none of us is perfect. Changing our hearts to listen and loving our enemy. I really want to, just for our in closing, say this affirmation once again, because I think it speaks so beautifully. Christian love of neighbors includes walking humbly with God, acknowledging our own shortcomings while honestly seeking to understand and call forth the best in others, including those who consider us their enemies. Amen.